It was an overwhelming decision to change the place where I'm residing in right now, but it's turned out it won't work out like that anymore. To be honest, I'm bewildered, because I had an idea that living in a dormitory would make me evolve in a more gregarious person. In fact, it did somehow partly. I just thought it would do more than that, so I'm down in the dumps a little bit now. Since I am a kind of person who can't deal with such things easily, I'm even more reserved than before I put my foot here for the first time. But then, one day, it became obvious that my destiny is to relocate to one of my acquaintances' apartment. Of course, the quality of my life will improve, for sure. Even staying in a brand new student bedsit is incomparably better than my previous one, but that's not the case here. The main reason was the fact that living in a hall of residence was not in my price range anymore. Even though it was intended for low-income students, still, I'm not able to afford it now since the prices doubled in the recent year due to inflation. Optimistically speaking, however, because of my removal, my self-independence might finally evolve for the better. Keep your fingers crossed for that.
A commuter belt is typically a region situated within a reasonable commuting distance from a major city, often characterized by a mix of suburban and rural areas. People residing in these areas usually work in the city, but choose to live outside it due to factors like lower housing costs, a quieter lifestyle, and sometimes better schools and amenities. Living in a commuter belt can offer a higher quality of life with less noise, cleaner air, and access to green spaces. Commuters often appreciate the more relaxed pace of life and a greater sense of community. Commuter belts allow its habitants to enjoy a quieter and less congested environment. This might lead to an improved work-life balance, as they can escape the hustle and bustle of the city after work. But of course, it does not involve everybody. On the downside, commuters living in these areas often face longer travel times. Data shows that people in commuter belts tend to spend more time commuting, which seems to impact their fixed or usual way of doing things, and, I suppose, physical and mental health and happiness as well.
Our perception of the world has changed in terms of our lifestyle, job opportunities, relationships, priorities, etc. So has the direction of self-development. Starting as a self-publisher of any content has gained its popularity in recent years. Therefore, with us today in the studio, we have a well-renowned self-publisher, George Lewinsky. George, introduce us to the topic of your talk.
Hi, Susan. Hello, the listeners. Thank you for your invitation. When it comes to self-publishing, it can be a challenging and competitive battle. It often takes time and persistence to gain recognition and build a reader base. Stay open to feedback, continually improve your craft, and be patient as you work towards your publishing goals. Get an insight into my Encyclopedia of Self-Publishing, which has just been released and is available on demand in online bookshops.
A good start. Tell us more about how and where to start.
First things first, you should clearly define your publishing goals. Are you writing a novel, a non-fiction book, a collection of poems, or something else? What is your target audience? What do you hope to achieve with your self-published work?
Okay, we've noted it down. What's next? Write, edit, and polish your content thoroughly, I guess.
Remember that the last words in your book may say the end, but in fact, it's just the small brick of your publishing process here. Now, consider seeking professional editing and proofreading services to ensure your work is of high quality. A well-designed book cover is crucial for attracting readers as well. At the same time, determine your budget for self-publishing. Consider such costs as editing, cover design, formatting, marketing, and publishing platforms.
What do you mean by saying publishing platforms?
Select a self-publishing platform to release your work. Each has its own advantages and target audiences, so research to find the best fit for your needs. There are also certain platforms' instructions to upload your content. This typically includes adding book details, book cover, description, and pricing. Make sure your book is available in the formats you want: ebook, paperback, hardcover, etc.
When it comes to pricing and royalties, what's important to know more specifically?
For sure, you need to keep in mind the balance between affordability and fair compensation for your work. Each platform has different royalty structures, so be sure to understand the terms. What's more, if you're self-publishing a physical book, consider using print-on-demand services. This means your books are printed as they are ordered, reducing upfront costs and eliminating the need for inventory storage. Also, consider copyright protection for your work. You may want to register your copyright to secure your intellectual property, to avoid any copyright infringement, and, as a result, the money lost on reselling or downloading of your content without your consent.
Okay, good to know. What is the best way to promote your book?
You can do it through various marketing channels. This includes creating a website or author page, utilizing social media, reaching out to book bloggers and reviewers, and possibly investing in advertising. Building a reader email list can also be beneficial. Encourage readers to leave their feedback on platforms like Amazon. They can significantly impact the visibility and credibility of your book. Last but not least, interact with your readers through social media, email newsletters, or author events. Building a community around your work can be valuable for long-term success. Surprise your followers with some Instagrammable content and freebies. It also matters.
Thank you, George. It was a pleasure to talk to you.